A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. I don't know what it is why I keep coming across particular cases of like young adults or college kids essentially that go missing, but I am. And it really freaks me out. You know, I have kids that are eventually going to be in college. And I think it's like just a great time to remind us that just because we're adults, essentially at 18, especially if we have any listeners, you know, that are that age and you go off into the world and you're like, I'm good, I'm an adult, I can take care of myself. I just want like the cases that you could think back on that we've covered and the case that I'm going to do today, just to remind you, and the case we did like two episodes ago or so, that this is still a high risk time. People get left behind all the time in group settings or whatever. So stick together, look out for each other, never assume that someone's safe until they say, I'm home and in my bed.
Agreed.
All right. On that note, I'm sure it gave a little hint on to kind of like at least who generally that we're talking about. But today I'm going to
No, it didn't. I don't know this case at all.
Well, I didn't either. But we'll get into it more. And I don't mean to suggest, like, you would know who I was talking about by that little bit of information. But you know it's probably a college-aged kid.
Yes.
So anyway, the case I'm going to tell you about today is the case of Dale Boxley Dinwiddie. Dale was born to Dan and Jean Dinwiddie on April 12th of 1969. Dale resided with her family in Columbia, South Carolina. Dale's parents gave birth to her brother 7 years after Dale, and as you'd expect, they didn't have a super close relationship early on, simply due to age. As time went on, though, they certainly were growing to have that close relationship. After Dale graduated from high school in 1987, she went off to college. This was quite a big move from her, close, safe school in Columbia to, and I apologize if I'm saying this incorrectly, Randolph-Macon Women's College in Virginia, which is now a co-ed college, and I believe it's just Randolph, where she pursued art history. I suppose she adjusted to independence well because she soon sought more from her major that this school just couldn't provide, and she transferred to the University of Georgia early on. It didn't work out, though. Because life was miserable for Dale due to allergies. Dale had lifelong allergies, and I'm just not just talking like inconvenient, like I have a stuffy nose, kind of like how I do right now, but it was like pretty debilitating, enough where she required shots a couple of times a week, and she had an inhaler that she had to have on hand. So the South inevitably just made her allergies worse. And Dale was forced to return to Virginia to complete her degree. Dale did finish her degree within the 4 years, though. The transfer didn't slow her down. And after graduating in 1991, she tried to find a job in the field, which she was art history, and she just couldn't. So she just got whatever job was available. Unfortunately, that business closed within the first 6 months of her working there. So what did Dale do? She moved home to figure out what was next. And that was when Dale considered and then pursued grad school. And I believe she was set to attend grad school in the place that she lived. Dale would work whatever job she could until she finished school. And then hopefully she would be able to get a job that she actually wanted, kind of in the field that she wanted. So a plan finally seemed to come to fruition. So, you know, in her social life, she hung out with friends and things like that. And just like any other young person, she hears that one of her favorite bands is coming to town. So she's going to get tickets. And she did. And she got tickets to U2. So on Wednesday, September 23rd of 1992, Dale has tickets to see them. I think at any time in U2's career, they were probably huge. So to me, it would be probably a big deal. And this is in her hometown of Columbia. And she's going to go with several friends. Sounds like a great night. One of these friends is going to transport her there to meet all their other friends. So they go to the concert, have a great time, and the concert ends around 11:15. And as everything's going really great, what do they want to do? They want to continue the good time. So they decide to go to a local, I guess, kind of like dive bar or whatever, in the area. They're familiar. They've been there before. And it's called Jungle Jim's. And this is in the Five Points region of the city. Supposedly at the time, it's fairly safe. I mean, just as in any city, there's probably a little bit, like parts you do want to avoid in the area. But generally speaking, I think this is an area where there's restaurants and bars and just places for young people, well, any people, to probably really hang out. It's worth noting at this point that at this point, you know, when the concert's over, the friend that drove Dale is actually wanting or needing, I believe, to go home. So Dale kind of hitches a ride with her other friends. So everyone goes and they meet up at Jungle Jim's. Everything's fine. They probably are in the bar getting caught up in the excitement at the bar. You know, when people are in there, it's crowded, it's loud, you're talking to people, there's music. There's probably drinking. To what degree, who knows? I mean, maybe that's not even a fair assumption. I mean, people do attend bars and there are people that don't drink. So at this point, you know, as the night's going on, they're seemingly losing track of one another as friends. When Dale's friends were ready to leave, as we find out, they didn't spot her. And at this point, they kind of assume that she caught a ride home or maybe called her parents. Dale was pretty responsible and has done this in the past. Seemingly, they were mistaken. A bouncer reported seeing and talking to Dale as she looked out for her friends, both inside and out. The conversation they had was for approximately 15 minutes, so this is pretty accepted as information that's accurate, that it was in fact Dale. They spoke. She was looking for her friends. She couldn't find them. And at 1:30, the bouncer saw Dale leave while actually leaving behind her purse, and she walked north. She seemed like she knew the direction that she was going in and everything, and that's kind of the last time that Dale was seen. So Dale's dad first noticed that there was something wrong in the morning when he entered Dale's room. The biggest thing for him was that Dale's bed had not been slept in. So Dale's parents began to call friends. No one knew where she was. Panic sets in, and they called the police right away. Initially, police reassured the Dinwiddies that she'll probably be home. She's 23 years old. She can do what she wants.
I hate that.
I hate it too. Just do the investigation. Just do a little bit of legwork. Anyway, but the family pressed and they were not having it. And they were kind of like, this is not Dale's behavior. She's responsible. She'd call us if she needed a ride home. She is in contact with us. And, you know, it really gets me thinking. And I don't know that we give enough thought to what life was like before cellular technology. Like, if she actually had wanted to call her friends, I mean, call her parents, she would have had to ask the bar to use their phone.
Or a payphone.
She would have had to, you know, like, she could have used a payphone too, but she would have had to, like, know exactly where she was, exactly where you're meeting. You know, we have this luxury with cell phones where, sure, we could say, hey, meet me, you know, outside the restaurant. And then, you know, everyone's done this. You get to the restaurant and you're like, where are you? You call and you're like, okay. Let me walk over to meet you, but stay on the phone and things like that. I think we forget how much forethought we probably used to have before hanging up the phone with someone, or what it would take or where we need to be to make a phone call. Anyway, I just think it's easily written off how easy it is for someone to have miscommunication or lost communication.
I would agree with you.
So like I said, you know, the Dinwiddies pressed and they were like, this is not like her. And it did kind of push the police to start their investigation, which was inarguably disappointing. And not really on the police's part, but there was nothing. So police talked to anyone in the area that might have seen Dale. Obviously the people at the bar, because we know what the bouncer said. And they talked to friends. Dale might have walked, but no one saw anything and no evidence was found anywhere. So what I mean when I say that is that her home was far, but not like horrifyingly far. Like it could be a walk. She would have in the past called her parents, but people did say maybe she thought she could have, I don't know, made the walk. But as police canvassed neighborhoods and stuff, there was no evidence left behind. There was no sign of foul play or anything like that. So the investigation quickly went nowhere. It stalled for a very long time. In the early 2000s, police gave some attention to a military pilot who attended the University of South Carolina at the time of Dale's disappearance. He was already convicted of the murders of four women. He looked really good for this potential crime, but they've never been able to get anything out of this person.
Why did he look really good?
And essentially, this has gone nowhere. I think because, you know, after he was convicted and, you know, they noticed that this guy has a history of harming people, can we connect him to more crimes? They, I think, had no leads and were kind of like, I wonder if this guy, being that we know he went to the University of South Carolina at this time, which is relatively close to the Four Points region.
Okay.
He could be connected. I think they're trying to look for anything at this point. Just last year, and most articles did not have this information, so only a few had this, but just last year, a new lead came in. And this was in regards to the investigation of Harry Gregory, who was the South Carolina or director of the South Carolina State Accident Fund. Now, a woman came forward stating he had assaulted her. She stated that he said she reminded him of Dale Dinwiddie. So she reported this to the police. A house raid took place, and the community, not the police per se, but the community, thinks it could link him to Dale's disappearance. But perhaps likely related to his charge of lewd acts upon a child, going back to the early 2000s. So we have two potential quote-unquote leads that are so lacking the evidence to support a greater relationship between Dale and these individuals, but that is all that we have at this point, 30 years later after her disappearance.
Well, I hate all of it.
There's been, you know, number of tips that have come in that have gone nowhere.
I hate all of it.
I actually really hate this one too. If you think Maura Murray, not to compare, and I'm sorry about that, but like Maura Murray, who disappeared into thin air, you know, with witnesses around, hurts your head. Someone that disappears into thin air with no one around hurts pretty bad.
All right, so what are the theories?
So, surprisingly, there is the walk away from your life theory. I don't know. We can talk about that. And there is random foul play. There is foul play by someone she knew. And that's pretty much all the theories that there are. There isn't talk of suicide whatsoever. And, you know, as I've stated, there's these two, I guess they would fall under random foul play, this Harry Gregory guy or this man in prison now for the conviction of murders. So I think we can start off with Leave Your Life, as we usually do. And I don't see that as a possibility.
I don't either.
Great relationship with people.
Like, she had it all going for her. Yeah, like, she had it going for her. She was going to grad school, like, or finished grad school. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. She has a great relationship with her family. Great friends. She goes to a bar, and she's going to leave her purse behind and go start her new life with what?
Brian Schaefer.
I didn't say with who. I said with what. To be honest, I would welcome some crazy thing like that happening. It would mean people were safe.
Oh, I agree. But I don't think that that's what happened.
Absolutely not. She didn't have a car. She didn't have any money with her because it was, whatever money she did have was at the bar. So I don't necessarily see a reason for her to leave her life. And on top of that, 30 years later, you know, I know that there were tips, but I don't necessarily know and can distinguish if there were sightings of her. I would think that if there were sightings, that would have been reported on. So I'm going to kind of assume that there haven't been. And I find that hard to believe.
Okay.
So I'm going to put little weight into that. Some people, I guess I should say, do wonder if it is some acquaintance with her. People have said that Dale was very cautious of her person, wouldn't have gotten into a car with someone or anything like that. So if someone had offered her a ride and she got in, it could have been an acquaintance. However, you know, that acquaintance would have had to have known she's leaving the bar alone and what direction she's walking. And they also would have had to know that the friends left her behind. So I don't know how likely I find that. That would be a very lucky thing on their part.
I don't know that she would just get into a car, though, if she was that cautious.
Well, if it was a friend or an acquaintance, perhaps.
I guess, but... So let's say she did get in a car.
Okay.
With someone she knows. And then what? They just decided to kill her?
They could have made an advance that went poorly. And maybe
that
happened.
I'm so sick of that conversation.
I know.
I know. Listen. It's exactly what it happens, which is why we say it, right? But, like, can we not normalize the fact that, like, people make advances and get rejected and lash out? Like, that's terrible.
I hear you. I don't like it either. I mean, I can't think of what she would get into an argument with some acquaintance about.
Okay. So let's break down the two suspects that are potential suspects.
I mean, I will start off by saying I think both are a reach. You've just basically stated, you know, that there are two people that were in the area, or I don't know if the director was in the area at that time or if they're able to determine that. But, I mean, you've found a guy that is likely or could be, I'm sorry, let me say, accused of violence towards women. I, like the police, probably think that, you know, there's got to be more to link the two. You can't just name someone who does something like that and say that they might be responsible for that.
What do the police say?
The police, I think, believe that that there is a kidnapping random, but I think they think it's random foul play. You know, at this point, they don't think she walked away, but there is nothing. And I can see why they might say this. There's nothing else that links these two gentlemen, men, to Dale's disappearance.
Okay. So we just have to think she left a bar, got in a car, got kidnapped, and met ultimate demise that way? I hate this.
I know. I know. If you look on the Charlie Project, I mean, they identify this Javier Ray Rivera, who's the pilot, as the best lead that they have. I'm going to quote the Charlie Project here. He was a resident of Columbia and a student at the University of South Carolina in 1992. The university is located near the Five Points area where Dinwiddie was last seen. Investigators are also investigating as to whether he was involved in the 1999 South Carolina disappearance of Paula Merchant. So there's no other information that he was actually seen in the area, that they had a relationship or knew each other or anything like that. It's simply that he was in the vicinity. And because I think the police had nothing else, they did have the quote-unquote luxury of spending some time looking at him really closely.
And they looked at him really closely and got nothing.
Yes. I mean, he's been interviewed in prison. He has said nothing about Dale whatsoever. And then, like I said, with this more recent development, if you will, it's not really even the police that have made this connection in regards to Harry Gregory. It's the community who has said, does this involve Dale? Because, you know, there are crimes that he is accused of against women, and they have raided his home. What that was about, we really don't know. So that was very recently, I think within the last year. So perhaps we'll know more in due time. But that is it. I mean, the problem I have, though, with the random foul play is you're just cruising around at 1:30 in the morning looking for someone to kill. Or you're just like on your way to Taco Bell and you're like, oh, there's someone I could kill. Like, what? Is this the way it goes? I know. Speechless, right?
Amy, I hate this.
And then at that, like, when it's a random killing, how are you so skilled as to hide the body? I mean, 30 years later, we don't have remains or anything that tells us a thing.
I'm less concerned about the body. I'm more concerned about the fact that she just up and vanished and we have nothing.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And do you think she left her purse behind on purpose, or maybe she was just running to the payphone or running to meet up with if she thought her friend was still there? Do you think she had any intention of trying to walk home? I mean, after walking for a certain amount of time, I feel like you would be like, oh, where's my purse?
Well, why would you leave the bar without your purse?
So the bouncer has never stated that he felt that she was intoxicated or anything, which I think would have been noted, you know, because it would have mattered in their investigation. So let's say that she's not notably intoxicated. The only way I can see leaving your purse is if, A, you're going to come right back to it, which I still think that's hard to believe, but you know, be if you're drunk, you forget something behind. And I don't think that she was.
Well, leaving her purse makes me think that maybe she intended on coming back.
Okay, so what did she go away for?
I don't know.
I really wish I knew where the payphone was.
But, like, you don't leave your purse in a bar unless you're coming back in.
Right.
So I think she had to be coming back in the bar. So my guess is that she was grabbed right outside.
And do you still think it was random?
I don't know. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know. How's that?
And I think that's the worst part, is because there's not a single thing. There's not a single place to start.
Amy, I feel like I'm talking about Brian Schaefer. Like, how does this happen?
Well, I mean, in his case, we couldn't even see him walk out of the bar. We knew she walked out of the bar. I feel like, I don't know what's worse. I don't.
Why did her friends think she, like, got a ride home?
Because they couldn't find her in the bar. And it wouldn't be unlike her to have called her parents for a ride. She's done that in the past.
I hate every second of this, Amy. And I think that she was kidnapped outside the bar, and I don't know by who.
But, you know, like, that's, I know you were a little bit less concerned about this, but, like, random foul play in an age of no DNA, I don't know why you would go to the trouble to hide the remains of someone if you couldn't be connected.
No body, no crime.
Do you think some random foul play person is all concerned about all of that stuff?
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe, but that's where I get a little bit jammed up. Where I land is, I don't think it's an acquaintance. Perhaps she took a quarter from her purse, left her purse, and tried to find a payphone, and then was abducted by random foul play. Even though I don't like the fact that I can't explain how they would dispose of a person so they wouldn't be found in 30 years, I think that's what happened.
Yes, and this is why it's horrifying, because we say stay aware of your surroundings, but likely she did.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Do you want to open it up?
The best that we can do is stick together and use our technology to our advantage. And yes.
Oh, for sure.
Do you think it was random, if it was an acquaintance? Do you have a completely separate other theory? I'd love to hear it.
Yes, share it with us, and we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.